listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Would you agree, Steve Fezzik, that a week ago, that as many people, especially with Durant going in one direction, down arrow, with the perception, the number of people that would stand up and scream, Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA, decreased significantly in the last couple of weeks. Now, people will mumble, yeah, you know, but at the end, they're pretty much saying, I don't want to necessarily flip-flop, but I don't want to really back my opinion with too much vigor or money. Will we agree down arrow Durant when it comes to public perception?
Absolutely.
And up until a week ago, let's say, it was more, much more up arrow Giannis. And yeah, up arrow Kawhi, but it was an afterthought. It was like, let's talk 3 minutes about Giannis and mention, oh, by the way, Kawhi's mighty good. And any sense that the missed year was going to really hinder him, that we're fine. Kawhi's, you know, top one of the top 10 in the NBA. But he really was the afterthought. It was really Milwaukee has the slightly better superstar. Milwaukee has the slightly better, if not more so, bench. And thus, Milwaukee should be the clear favorite. Steve Fezzik, what were we wrong about? Or is it like anything else that one game? Because if Milwaukee wins that game, this whole conversation is different. Yeah, Kawhi's able to, you know, but boy, in game three, it took double overtime to win a must-win game. One more foul shot. Milwaukee's, you know, wins this series 4-1. I think the odds are, if Milwaukee would have won yesterday, which wouldn't have taken all that much, that we would have today at some point, someone, probably Fezzik, would have said, you know, if they would have won game three, like they could have easily, Milwaukee would have won this thing 4-1, right or wrong?
Right.
All right. So were we wrong? Or is it just one game can go any way and overreacting to it's a mistake?
Well, I think we should react to it. And what we should react to is the fact that Giannis clearly appears to be uncomfortable when the pace of the game slows. So when you watch both of these superstars in the half court offense, Kawhi Leonard looks super comfortable, can lead that offense effectively, and Giannis is struggling.
Okay, now, what I tend to do is establish frameworks of how I think about certain things. NBA playoffs being an example. We spent real time right here on Straight Out of Vegas. And that's what I'm always kind of wringing my hands about. I want to have fun. I want to provide good winning information. But sometimes, and we try to keep this to 5, 6, 7 minutes at a time, it's got to be more like an instructional class. If you don't know how to bet the NBA or even watch the NBA playoffs, the playoffs versus the regular season, and remember, sports bettors, they're here for the money, but sports fans are here to know more than their buddies. We're going to teach both of you the way that Vegas at least looks at these things. Isn't one of the basic premises, and I'm saying this rhetorically, Fezzik, that there's less running in the playoffs, thus more half court, and defense is more intense.
Absolutely.
So why was it that a week ago you were so high on Milwaukee, even though we're now saying almost as if it was obvious all along, oh, pace of the game slows in the playoffs. Look at the stats from Milwaukee. When the pace of the game slows, they're in trouble. I didn't hear that. Until just now.
Yeah, and I think where...
Uh-oh, he's slowing down.
Where I was wrong about Milwaukee was that, let's look at their path. They got to go ahead and crush Detroit. Very fast-paced games. Detroit never tried to slow it down.
And the case could be made that Detroit is one of the worst playoff teams of the last decade.
Yep, yep. Right. And then they play Boston. And remember, you got all those scores for Boston. They seemed like they just wanted to run up the court and get their shots off. Boston never seemed to slow it down as well. So a really good path for Milwaukee to look so good early on in the playoffs.
Okay, so now under that theory, the change, the revelation would have happened when they started playing Toronto. But they win game one, Milwaukee, they win game two. As you said here, Steve Fezzik, at extended length, they almost won game three. So is it that somehow Toronto was slowing them down, but they still somehow won? Like, I get if I was asking you, if somehow Toronto won this series easily, what you just explained could make sense. There was a fundamental change that Toronto made playing Milwaukee in this hypothetical that the first two teams they faced in the playoffs didn't make that change. And once they did, the flaw was exposed. But Lordy B, you seem much more optimistic about Milwaukee after game three than you were entering the series. So explain.
Because Toronto was showing all kinds of problems. The Toronto bench.
Showing all kind of problems. Oh, so they had deficiencies, Toronto.
Yes. The Toronto bench was playing just egregiously bad, and they were only basically playing three guys on their bench. And Kawhi Leonard was appeared to be getting worn down and not playing
but
like a superstar.
But that's exactly. Whoa. What game didn't he play like a superstar?
In game four.
You mean the game in which he shut down? They won. In game four when they won by 18 points?
Well, he only scored 19 points. He was very good defensively.
I mean, is it this simple now? We're going to take the scoring average and we're going to subtract or add and say a plus minus is a sign of how good. Because this isn't pre-sabermetrics. This is like pre-newspapers.
Fair enough. The bench
but
was
then
the
why
main,
are you saying that?
Because I thought that Kawhi was going to continue possibly to get worse with the way he had appeared to look worn down in games three and four. But the bench was really the problem for Toronto. Toronto's bench was horrendous.
And I think one thing we need to really just wrap our arms around is these little jags of thoughts that you have that are backed by nothing, they need to be, hey, I'm going to throw out for 20 seconds. Like Colin today, and I thought he did an excellent job on this. He was talking about, and this is right here on Fox Sports Radio, like straight out of Vegas. Colin was talking about, why does the West dominate so much? Did you hear that today, Brent?
I did not.
And he was talking about that it's his theory that the warm weather, when this is a winter sport, the NBA is such a draw that you're not going to choose to go to Boston or Philadelphia as much as you might if it were a summer sport where you could be out of town for the winter, let's say like baseball mostly. So, but then he said, though, he goes, listen, I don't know. He goes, that's my theory. And to me, that was so comforting because there is a culture in talk radio. You want to act like you're sure about everything. And what that does is diminish the things you are sure about, right? So to me, I poo-pooed that Kawhi talk. I didn't know how healthy or unhealthy it was. I just know that other than last year, which was the aberrations of aberrations, the way Kawhi responded, the conflict with the Spurs, it was so out of character, at least from the distance that I've perceived his character as a Spurs fan when Tim Duncan was there especially, that other than that, this is one of the toughest players, if not the toughest player of this generation, I would say. I felt like you could drop Kawhi from a 15-foot ladder and he would stand up, say, maybe my knee feels, all right, let's go, let's keep playing. And that'd be like a practice. He never felt like when he, you know, when certain players go down, you're like worried. I think LeBron, you know, pre this year perhaps, and Kawhi were the two that if they went down, you weren't thinking they just blew out their
knee. I agree with that.
Right? So if our bet is on Kawhi Leonard physically being limited, boy, I don't think I've – not that he's never had an injury, but he's certainly not an often injured player. To me, what the issue was – and we'll examine this when we come back – what the issue was in this series is Kawhi moving to Giannis. And I just don't know how. And again, Steve, you're right more than you're wrong. And if you and I go head-to-head in the NBA, I'm a big underdog long-term. No doubt about it. But what really confused me, and we'll address this when we come back, and some matters of the heart with Steve, is the question is, to me, how we could see the whole regular season, Giannis is dominating. probably the MVP. First round of the playoff dominate. Second round of the playoff dominate. The first three games of this series.
First two.
Oh, so the switch happened before game.
Yeah,
so game the game three, when he shut him down, was the game that went to double OT. Okay. Yep. So the first two games, thank you, of this series. Oh, he's playing really well, Giannis. And then there's one change. One thing's different. And game three,
yep,
not so good. Game four, not so good. So entering game five, to act like that was just a, that, oh, it was a coincidence that maybe the best defender in the NBA has gone on him and he's not playing near as well, that seemed like a big issue. So yeah, pace might be part of it. But if Giannis has his typical game, if we look at the margin of victory yesterday, is it bigger or smaller than the difference between Giannis's typical elite game and what he played? And if it's not bigger, then it means the difference in Giannis was the difference between winning and losing.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's our pleasure to have you join us each weekday. We have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 78 degrees. The neon is coursing. By the way, Jonas, voice of the fan, one of my faves when it comes to the square perspective. Now, that might seem like, you know, damning with faint praise, but understanding what the fans are thinking helps you understand the betting market. And to me, it needs to be said once or twice. Sometimes the betting market reacts in a way that is nonsensical. And that's when the real bets happen. You know, Fez, if you know, you we were debating Kawhi, you know, a couple shows ago, and the change of him defending Giannis, would it matter? You thought not really. This was on the podcast, now I think about it. And we were like, I was pretty much pounding my fist, like, you're ignoring something here that's really big. And you just kind of shook your head. You know, I was right in that case. It's going to be 50-50 or maybe your advantage, I think probably in the NBA, over the long run. But it was a reasonable disagreement. Reasonable people could disagree. Sometimes when the public, all the Jonases, or the lesser Jonases, I would say, that don't watch with quite the astuteness that Jonas does, is they see some recent results and it's like, OMG, I'm changing my mind, you know, not 360 degrees, but 180 degrees. And if we look at game four, it really is an example of sometimes you're going to have an opinion, maybe you put some pizza money on it, and sometimes it's going to be like, this doesn't make sense. And I see why the betting market, has the opinion they do. It just doesn't make sense to me. So quickly, just to kind of, one, make that point that you're going to have your, you know, hey, I think we got a little edge on this bet, and a reasonable professional could disagree. And then there's like, I don't see any way a pro could bet this side. I could see passing, maybe. Because what we had was Toronto in game three, first game at home, down 0-2, motivation through the roof, and they were favored by what, Fed?
2.5.
All right. And then they were 2.5-point underdogs in game four.
Bet up to +3.
Well, okay. Wow. So think about that a second. About 5 or more points of change. And what changed between game three and four? You could make the case that Toronto underperformed a smidge in game three. To have to go to overtime to win was probably not what we expected. If you're a 2.5-point favorite, if you're a 2.5-point favorite, that is about overtime, right? It's a tight game. The fact they won it was the key. And then what else? I don't know. You could say that somehow, some way, Toronto's motivation was less in game four than game three. But if they lost, the series is pretty much over. So it still was another must win. So maybe this is like wild. Let's give 0.5 point between game three and four to Milwaukee because Toronto underperformed a little bit. and give a half a point for the relative motivation not being such an advantage for Toronto. So maybe 2.5 becomes 1.5. The idea that they were getting 3 points was literally nonsensical. But we understood why. Everyone watched the game and they said, wow, it took so, you know, there was 80 ways they could have lost this game. They won, they got lucky, but boy, Milwaukee's just a better team. And that fundamental mistake offered a great bet. Now, that great bet wouldn't have won every game. It might win 55, 56, 57%. You know, your best bets are going to move towards 60 if you're good at this. So remember, guys, sometimes we're going to be talking about half points of disagreement, and sometimes the fans out there are just playing wrong, but they do affect the betting market. So, Jonas, with your eyes of the fans, what did you see in the game? In particular, Giannis, is he a superstar or not? And the end of that game.
I think his conditioning is an issue. He was out late in a sequence in the game, and he appeared to roll his ankle slightly when defending Kawhi Leonard late. And so while he was out, I mean, this was a crucial part of the game, less than a minute to go, if I'm not mistaken. Even Chris Webber and Reggie Miller asking, why is he out of the game? And the speculation was, well, is he injured? Mike Budenholzer, his head coach afterwards, said, yeah, I took him out because he looked like he was really injured. Well, if you have a really bad ankle injury, you probably should go sit down and take weight off that ankle. He didn't sit down. He was sort of standing up next to the scores table. I think he needed a breath. I think he needed to catch his breath because I think Kawhi Leonard is grinding him down in this series.
But and Kawhi was injured, wasn't he?
Yeah, of course, to the experts. Yes, the quad injury expert.
Somehow he limped his way through, yes, running Giannis into the ground.
But there was a point.
Let's give Fez his chance.
I was worried Kawhi might have gangrene in game four, and he stayed out there. I mean, he clearly looked like he was injured, and he didn't exit the game.
See, I think the thing Steve Fezzik does, and again, you do so much right, but I think you're, do we want to say, we'll just say non-alpha approach to life. You know, like there's certain people, if they put their hand through glass, they're going to spit on it, put a piece of newspaper on it and some scotch tape and go on their way. And then there's people like you where you would get a tetanus shot. You'd have you'd have like a plastic surgeon come in and decide what kind of stitching they were going to do so you didn't have a little inch scar on your wrist. These guys are pretty tough. I know it's easy to sit there on the radio and kind of critique them, but I mean, against normal human beings, these guys are tough. And Kawhi's as tough as any of them from what I can see. Let me pose something to you, Jonas. I've got a different opinion. Watching the end of the game, reading the game reports, recaps, it felt like that the coach sensed Kawhi was frustrating Giannis. And that he, like, remember, if you're watching Giannis play every play, you're the coach of the team, you know your player. We've all had experiences playing sports. And like, Brad is a super easy guy to work with. But that you can tell when he's getting worked up about something, he doesn't always lift his head all that much anyway, but he'll tuck his chin even deeper in his chest, and he starts breathing a little more labored. You never heard me say that, but you're saying, you know, actually I did do that, don't you? Yeah. You start getting upset about stuff. When you're around someone all the time, you know. And to me, I think Giannis was getting so frustrated that he figured, yeah, we're better off with Giannis on the court typically. We might even be better off with Giannis on the court now. But if he makes a big mistake that frustrates him even more, it might ruin him for the rest of this series. Let's take our chances with him getting a little breather and maybe not so much for oxygen, for energy, but to settle his mind. Thinking back, does that make sense to anybody?
Not the craziest idea in the world. And either one of those, whether it's fatigue or emotionally he looks frustrated, the fact that that's the situation with your star player late in a game tells you that he's not the player that everybody assumed he was going into this series.
See, I disagree with that. Not... let me clarify. In fact, I'm going to tease this one. We'll do the news real quick. I believe Milwaukee showing weakness, showing that they're not bulletproof, that this is not a freight train, to me is one of the most wonderful things of the sports year. Not because I'm going to probably win a lot of money from Fezzik, not because of anything other than this. It seems like more has changed in the sports world in the last 5, 6, 7 years, where as a guy in his mid-40s, there was all these adages. You don't draft a quarterback that's 5'7.5". You don't, you know, and you don't take a guy on TV and make him the GM. And all of a sudden, it feels like that analytics, in one hand, has debunked some faulty assumptions or some faulty, like, this is what everyone thinks is right. But it's also freed people up to ignore a lot of other adages that I think are well earned. And one of those adages is it's hard to get through the NBA playoffs all the way when you're so new to it.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
If you've been listening to Straight Outta Vegas long enough, you know that we have a love affair when it's not NFL season and he's not injured. Steve Fezzik isn't all that into Jimmy Garoppolo, but in fact, he's into one man, and that man belongs to the Toronto Raptors. That man is Fred VanVleet, who last night had a career-high playoff game in points. Here was some of it, courtesy of Raptors Radio.
Kawhi Leonard, free throw line, kicks out Freddie VanVleet. Yes, sir! Another one! 96-93. Fred's got 7 triples tonight.
Freddie, you know, that brings up the interesting case, Fez. I'll give you 20 seconds. And it's so funny, you got your notes right out like a little student. This is from the heart, baby. This isn't about your notes. Quickly explain the love affair with VanVleet, because it really has befuddled the nation. Because up until recently, up until he made a mistake, it seems, it was like this guy was on the bench and you thought he was like, what was he, like the 11th most valuable player in the NBA or something?
Yep, Freddie and I have been going steady for about 18 months, RJ, where I was making the case about how undervalued Fred VanVleet was. I made the case he was worth a significant amount to this Toronto Raptor team.
I mean, sometimes you say like a point. Now, honestly, how many players, like when you were most in love with VanVleet, how many players in the NBA would you say were worth more points than him?
Oh, maybe 25.
So you thought that that the guy on the bench was the 26th most valuable player in the NBA.
Exactly. They
say love is blind. Now, here's the question. This would be such an uplifting story if that's where it ended. But your capriciousness, your, you know, unrelenting self-interest, your critical nature, it all came to a head when VanVleet had some struggles like we all do in life.
10 consecutive horrible playoff games, RJ, where he shot 2-for-17 from 3 and 16% overall. And I dumped Freddie VanVleet
on air.
And I dumped him Monday while he was watching the birth of his son.
Yes.
That's cool.
And if Fez says, I don't want to hear about it. What's that kid? Is that kid making me any money? VanVleet, you're out of here. And somehow, some way, maybe because of the pressure of a national guy like you not caring anymore, he had his career game.
Career games. Games 4 and 5. He was plus 24 in both games.
All right. And also, we've got our bet. And if Toronto wins, I got some moolah coming my way. We'll talk about that after it happens so we can celebrate.
Guys, Klay Thompson was not a happy camper when the NBA's all-NBA teams came out yesterday and he found out he was not on either the first team, second team, or third team. While Klay Thompson is upset, RJ, what does Vegas make of the decision?
I got to be honest. I was fascinated, and here's why. He found out live while being recorded, and his reaction was as if you had said his lunch was 15 minutes late. In fact, if I was told my lunch was 15 minutes late, it might have been more worked up. And I'm telling you right now, I've seen Fezzik, I've seen Brad, where, and think about it yourself. You've got a bat, and you think it's locked up. It's one of those 99 percenters, and then you see that you lost. The minute you realize that you lost, and let's say you've got even $1,000 on it, it's a $2,100 swing. I get worked up 10x as much as he did for losing $31 million. Why? Because of the contract that he's able to get as the max is limited because he wasn't on. I don't know if he understood. If he understood what the consequences of that were, it's the most amazing thing I ever heard. I tell you, Fez, we only got 90 seconds. You got a pick in this one, and I like it. You like the under in the weekend game. So the total is?
212.5. We're going under.
Okay. Now, if you actually look at the last three games, and let's use three games because Kawhi, they made that change with Kawhi. And also that change is what the coach from Milwaukee hasn't been able to adjust to. A lot of criticism he's getting about that. Since that change, what's the scoring been per game?
On average, 219 points.
All right. So let me think. 219. This is 212. It sounds like over. What's the difference?
We're going to take out that double overtime, and taking that out, just regulation time, the average has only been 206 the last three games.
Oh, so everyone's just kind of looking at the averages, and they vaguely remember, oh, yeah, there was an overtime. Obviously, those points are not typical, and we're reaching the end of a series, and history tells us defense ramps up. What's the number?
Big time, it ramps up. Game sixes on average have been 6 points lower scoring than games one through five historically.
All right, so let's think about the math. 219 is our number. Take out the overtime. It's a sense of the change with Kawhi. Goes down to 206. Now, you take off 6 points because as you move to game six, history says minus 6 points. That's 200. Total's 212.5. Fez says under, and he's back. It with his own money.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.